The Gospel Lesson from Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, the disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
In the latter part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that the eye is the lamp of the body, and that if the eye is good, then your whole body is good. He was saying that the eye is an entrance into the heart and into the mind, and a window into the soul. Whom we see and how well we really see them says everything, not so much about them, but about us. So then, this morning, let us take that teaching from the end of the Sermon on the Mount and let it inform our understanding of what the writer Matthew says about Jesus at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. The first words from the text today: Jesus saw the crowds. And sitting down on the mountainside, Jesus began to teach his disciples how it was that they were to see them also. Those whom he saw there amidst the green pastures above the still waters of the Sea of Galilee were the poor and the dispirited, the hungry and the desperate, the dispossessed, those who had done everything they knew to do to try to make peace in a world of violence or families of violence, along with those who were in their grief and in shock and in mourning, who could hardly put one foot in front of the other in life, the traumatized, the abused, the unstable, the laborer, the landless, those of broken body and also broken soul, and those who had nowhere else to go and no one else to care. And seeing the crowds, Matthew says, Jesus sat down and taught his disciples to see them too with one simple and beautiful word repeated over and over again 8 times. Blessed. The Greek word is makarios, and it can be translated as blessed or joyful or happy. Makarios is actually the same word from which we get our word Macarena. Dr. Cox and the choir really wanted to lead the congregation in the Macarena this morning. But since the youth are away on retreat, we were afraid that all of the rest of us would end up hurting ourselves. So we have refrained. Maybe next week. Makarios, blessed, joyful, happy, or as the Latin Vulgate translates it, beate, beautiful. Here at the very early outset of his ministry, Jesus is giving his basic instruction to his disciples. And at the heart of his teaching is his essential message about the sacred dignity and worth of all people, and the special, special, blessed beauty of the weak and the meek and the marginalized and the dispossessed, for those who have eyes to see. And see them, Jesus says. Beatify them. Make them blessed and beautiful in your eyes. I think this is what, for me, week in and week out, our agape meal is all about. For those who do not know, agape means love. And the agape meal is the way we love our neighbors each Thursday night with a loving meal of bread for both the body and also the soul. I am there with our neighbors on most Thursday nights. And the agape meal has become for me the way I ground myself in the basic teachings of Christ about the blessed beauty of all of our neighbors. This past Thursday, the usual agape meal pastor David was out, and so I preached the text. This text which I'm preaching this morning. And before our guests arrived, as I talked with the volunteers about the scripture, saying what Jesus said in the scriptures, how he saw the crowds. And I invited our volunteers to take the time on Thursday night to see, to really look at our guests when they came in and as they ate and as we worshiped together, to really notice and try to pay attention, to open our eyes and to try to see them, to really see them and love them with our hearts. When we read the text during worship, I talked about Jesus seeing all the people. And I invited the guests around the table to turn to their neighbors and say, "It is good to see you." And it is good to see. And it is so good to be seen. To really be seen and also to know that we've been embraced. This is what was so revolutionary about Jesus' teachings. He blessed the poor. He embraced the weak. He looked with love upon the loathsome and the despised. And while all of the contempt, while the contempt of weakness has always been and will always be an essential for the building of the great, mighty, authoritarian kingdoms of the world, Jesus centralized the embrace of the weak as essential to the kingdom of God. "Theirs is the kingdom," Jesus said. "These are the children of God. These are the ones who will inherit the earth." The humble, the meek, the peacemakers, the poor of spirit, those who have lost something precious in life and are not too proud to grieve. Having grown up in West Texas, this, I confess, is a really difficult teaching for me. Therefore, I would say an essential teaching for me. In West Texas, much of what Jesus was honoring here in the Sermon on the Mount was not at all considered to be, well, virtue. Being merciful and a peacemaker and pure of heart were not the ways in which the West was won. And as my paternal grandfather, Bill Price, used to say, "The meek shall inherit the earth, but somebody else is going to get the mineral rights." It was a dog-eat-dog world, and loving mercy and walking humbly were no ways of making a name or a living for oneself. And though most everybody grew up poor, and they only got out of poverty because they were white and therefore eligible for GI benefits, to go to school, and government-backed loans to buy a home, still there was a kind of real contempt for the poverty of other people, especially the poverty of other races, and other origins. And it was like you could only be good so long as you were better than somebody else, which meant that somebody had to be bad. But my grandmother Betty sighed. Well, they saw things just a little bit different. They were church folks, and the church, which was a sister church to this one, ran something called the Sick Children's Clinic on the other side of town, where mostly undocumented people would bring their children whose parents came across the river from Mexico to pick cotton in the fields, which was made into the shirts which my granddad sold in his store. And I can remember that as a very, very young and very impressionable boy, my grandmother going there every week, often multiple times a week, to volunteer at the clinic. I knew that it was open to everyone without questions and without exceptions. And that at the Sick Children's Clinic, they showed mercy and compassion to all people because they believed that all people, even the poorest of the poor, have dignity and worth and are blessed. And from a very, very early age, my grandmother and that church were teaching me to see people as they saw them. And learning that lesson very early on in life, when I've failed to live up to that, which I have at times and at times still do, something inside of me has always said a little wrong in my spirit. Because I know how I was raised and how I was taught to see people, to look at people with the very eyes of God. Jesus taught his disciples very, very early to see people and to look at them through the eyes of God. And he still teaches us to see people through the eyes of God's blessing and universal love. I told you that on Thursday night at the Agape meal, I invited the volunteers to pay attention to those whom they saw, to really see them. And I hope they did. I hope they did. But let me tell you this morning what I saw on Thursday night. I saw a poor probably single mother with her two little boys, who with half-toothed smiles on their faces, grinned wide-mouthed when the dessert came out. I saw a woman named Caroline facing heart surgery who said she wanted to come to one last agape meal before she heads into the hospital because agape has been such an important part of her life. I saw several of the purest-hearted volunteers trying with meekness and with humility to make just a small difference in somebody's life, which makes all the difference in somebody's life, maybe. And I saw a peacemaker police officer who, in the face of so many challenges in this country right now, was doing what he could to try to make a connection. And I saw and I heard an old man named Seraphim who helped roof this church when he himself had just come over the river many, many decades ago, gather with us at the table and then translate the words of institution into Spanish during the Lord's Supper. And I saw another much younger Hispanic man, too humble, too poor of spirit to come forward to the table, who sat in his chair with tears streaming down his cheeks as I brought the bread. And Seraphim said, "Esto es mi cuerpo que por vosotros es partido," which in gringo means, "This is my body broken for you." I saw them all on Thursday. And I saw that they are all beate, beautiful. And then I thought of the meaning of Jesus' words. If your eye is good, then the whole body will be good. And it was. And it is. The whole body is good and beate and blessed. And in that moment, when we have eyes to see and hearts to behold, it is truly the very kingdom of God. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people then say, Amen and Amen.